1400 K1, a sponsored opportunity to talk about the people, products, and services of a local business or political concern. This is a paid interview, and the statements and opinions expressed are those of the guests of the program and not necessarily those of the host or this station.
K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3 here for Capital Call on this Friday, and they are in, and we are excited. Julie Daniels, Earl Sears, and Travis Dunlap are all here with us. What's going on, guys?
Shall I start, gentlemen?
Yes, please.
Okay, Ben, thank you very much for having us here today. So I'm the freshman here, so these are my first initial reactions and experiences about going through the budget process. I want to emphasize that the people of the state of Oklahoma are spending less money and therefore generating less revenue. There is not revenue in Oklahoma City that the state legislators are hoarding or keeping from spending on core government services. The revenue is simply not coming in. I have some interesting statistics here. Oklahomans lost $13.9 billion in income in tax year 2015. That's over $300 million loss in income tax revenue to the state. Now, that's a couple of years ago. We created 75,000 jobs between 2010 and 2015. 55,000 of those were in the oil and gas industry. And we've now lost 25,000 of those energy jobs. Those are high-paying jobs with people that then pay income tax, they pay sales tax, local property tax. So we are also purchasing less. In 2015-2016, we purchased $4.4 billion less in sales tax revenue. So these are very real numbers, and we're dealing with a budget that has to recognize those realities. Now, our governor this week, it's amazing that you can be in the Capitol working very hard, and it's very quiet outside, but there's this idea out in the media that it's just absolute turmoil. Now, maybe over in the House they're throwing things at each other. I don't know. But in the Senate, it's fairly quiet and sober and serious. But our governor said that we all needed to buckle down and do our job. And I appreciate she has her own position on things. But heck, she has a office on the second floor. If she wants to come up and chat with everybody, it'd be fine with me. So I feel like in terms of negotiating a budget, the executive branch isn't being particularly helpful. And she doesn't get to do the budget. It falls to us. The good thing on the Senate side, I'm told that this is the first time the veterans can ever remember knowing about the possible budget scenarios more than 3 weeks before the end of the session. We've got 3 weeks left, and yet because we chose to sit as a whole Senate Appropriations Committee, every single idea that's out there we have seen, and also in our Republican caucus we have seen. So I certainly know almost as much as leadership. They were still meeting yesterday at 3:30 when I left the building, and I know that the one agency I'm charged with understanding and knowing about their revolving funds and their income, I know that I've reported that, and I know what is or isn't going to happen there. One last thing before I turn the microphone over. The very first bill I voted on was the Real ID, to offer the option of a Real ID compliant driver's license. There's money associated with setting up that program. We're aware of that, and I believe we will take care of that in the budget. But the head of the Department of Public Safety was on TV last night acting as if the elected legislature had no idea that they had to pay for this program, and that's not true. And those monies will be there. So everybody's kind of scurrying around saying wacko things to the media, and I'm a freshman, and I'm observing the landscape going, wow, this isn't reality, but okay. You say what you need to say, and the rest of us, we're just going to go up there and sit down and try to make the numbers add up. And that is the freshman reflection of the week, representatives. Here you go.
Good morning, Ben. Thanks for having us again this week, and delighted to be here. I think some good things came out of this week and some frustrating things for some people. Overall, it was, I think, a positive week because we've begun to narrow down the options of what we need to do to get this budget in place. And so I will just briefly comment on those things. The first of all is it seems that on the House side that we will not be passing revenue-raising measures that require 76 votes. 76 votes are required in the House due to the voters putting into place a constitutional guard against, from our perspective, unilaterally raising taxes just from the legislature without the people having to vote on it. And so that is a threshold that does not look like it's going to be met in terms of raising the cigarette tax, in terms of raising the gasoline tax, or other proposals, perhaps the gross production tax as well. And so this is forcing us to make some decisions that we've put off for a long time in regard to reform, or in regard to getting those getting exemptions and deductions and tax credits off of the burden of the taxpayer. So as we reduce the burden on the taxpayer for those items, we'll have more flexibility for what we need to be doing in core government services. And so I'm actually thankful that we're looking at those options more seriously, because that's something that I've campaigned on, and that's something that I've been pressing and working towards a long time. And we're serious about them now. So one of the things I think is an option, with the wind tax credit or the zero emission facility tax credit, we did put an end to the program. However, we have not put a cap on the payout. We can make a very huge step in getting the money we need for a budget if we go ahead and look at that option again. Now, last year, we've set the precedent of capping the tax credit for marginal wells at $12.5 million. That was not challenged. There are people who believe that if we cap the payout to the wind industry this year, that it'll be challenged in the courts. I don't think that will be the case, and I would like to continue having those conversations. There are other conversations about putting a 25% reduction on all of the tax credits we give out, even the popular ones. Popular ones like the Aeronautics Commission, our Aeronautics Engineering Tax Credit, or the Historical Buildings Tax Credit, things like that. Simply because this is a down year, as the Senator mentioned, Oklahomans are not making as much money, Oklahomans are not spending as much money, the economy is not as strong, and that is creating the budget shortfall. So I'm pleased that we're having those discussions now that we know that the 76 vote threshold will not be met in the House just to simply raise taxes instead of looking at some of these reforms. I do want to briefly comment before I pass the mic over. Some other really neat things happened this week. This week was the National Day of Prayer, and we spent some time acknowledging that. We had a service in the morning at the Capitol, and of course we spent time on the floor acknowledging that. And also here in Bartlesville, the Voice of the Martyrs hosted a service in the evening last night, and that was a wonderful time to be with the community. And I was very much humbled to ask to be a part of that service, and had a wonderful time with those people out there. So another fun thing that happened in the House is we had the FFA choir come and sing to us, and I saw a news article that was a little bit critical of that, but it was a delightful time. That's always one of the highlights of the session for people, and they do a wonderful job for us, and it's a great time to highlight our youth and the accomplishments they've given to our communities and the future leaders that they'll become, as well as bring the benefits of a musical performance into the timbre of the House, which did get testy this week at times. So it's good for all of us.
All right, sounds good. Mr. Sears?
Good morning, and thank you. There's not really much I can add. Both the representative and the senator pretty well captured what we're doing. But I will just add a little bit in terms of you'll read in the paper. You'll see a lot of this, but there's no question from now until we adjourn, negotiations, patience, nerves, it'll get edgy, but it's just, I was telling Senator Daniels, I think just yesterday, I told her, I said, now, Julie, you just need to know it just gets a little wilder each day. It just really does take on a life of its own, and I don't mean like we're just running around crazy, but I mean it just, when it's kind of getting to the finish line, somebody's frustrated about this in the bill, or somebody's frustrated about they've taken too much money, and the representative's done a great job of pointing out the tax credits. Quite frankly, I am very, very frustrated that we are not having more in-depth conversations in regards to giving a haircut, reform, trim, Use whatever terminology you want. In my opinion, and this delegation's opinion, it's an absolute must that we do that. But some of those are off the table, and that'd be a whole show talking about why they're off the table. But that's what I'm building my comments around. It just gets very, very frustrating. But you'll read a lot about that. I can tell you right now, I've seen both the House budget and the Senate budget. By the way, there's an article today that the House adjourned. Nobody's doing anything. Again, nothing could be further from the truth. The senator just commented. I was in a budget meeting from noon to almost 6 o'clock last night. I didn't get home till late. Didn't get to participate in the National Day of Prayer. All of us working on the budget. I saw both of those budgets. They're not too far off, but then there's some differences. And the big differences, the House is absolutely adamant of having a teacher pay raised at the cost of $52 million. The Senate is, it isn't that they don't support public education, it just, I understand their position. Where are you going to get the $52 million? The point is, that is a huge block right now, stumbling block, and we'll work through that. But it's intense, long hours. Way into the night, it'll just be more and more interesting. But we will come up with the budget. The million-dollar question is, will the governor like our budget and sign our budget, and will we be in special session? So stay tuned. Read the paper. Don't hesitate to call us if you have questions, because it is winding down.
And just another couple of personal notes. I arrived home yesterday evening in time to have a cup of tea and a power nap, with the intention of going out to the Voice of the Martyrs, and I woke up a couple hours later. So it's the concentration that goes on. I don't know why I arrive home on Thursday night. My husband says, "What do you want for dinner?" I want no food. I want to sit down. And then I just didn't wake up until later in the evening. I had a great page this week. My friend Max Savala was down from Nowata High School. Had a great time. He was named Page of the Week, which is something they don't normally do, but not something I was surprised about. I got to meet Oklahoma School of Science and Math Bartlesville student Kayla Black this week out at the OSSM campus. And I got to attend my first Future Farmers of America banquet and convention session, and Ty Taylor from Oklahoma Union was my host, along with his ag teacher, Mr. Moody, and I learned a whole lot from them, and that was great. And yes, that small choral interlude of about 15 minutes, which the paper says we did all day, basically, it was a very nice interlude in our proceedings. But I'd like to, on behalf of everybody, thank Phillips Petroleum, mm-hmm. Phillips 66, for putting on this show, and I don't know where we are on time, but I could tell you
if
the three of us were doing the budget, mm-hmm. we could settle it right here on the radio, and we'd all be home, and it would be good. Thank you, KWON.
Absolutely. We appreciate you coming in. We've got a lot of things going on, but you're listening to K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3. This was Capital Call, and we'll have Capital Call on our website, BartlesvilleRadio.com, a little bit later on this afternoon, so you can listen to the entire program in its entirety on our website. Thank you to Julie Daniels, Earl Steers, and Travis Dunlap for coming in this morning.
Thanks for listening.